not doubt to all of them. If you want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Last time I preached on bass too long ago, I'm standing on my toes right now, so I look to everybody. Good for my calves, and it makes me feel proud of myself because I'm taller than normal. But this week, I started off with in mind, and I couldn't get peace about it. I'm going to preach on. And I had a reoccurring verses that back to mind again and again. And I've always preached on them. Always wanted to preach on them. Because I can kind of connect with it because it's about soldier. And even though now I'm a chaplain assistant, which isn't really just a soldier, I have been soldiering process and of, you know, the war or air conditioned huts in the desert. I don't know what you want to call it. But I've been to war. And I've always preached on being a soldier. And these verse so packed, I wanted to preach the whole thing. But for lack of time, I can't. So I just kept on finding all these on one particular subject, and I've kind of expanded on one part of it. I'll read it, then we'll pray, and then hope God will do something wonderful because I'm so good. But anyway, so we'll pray, we'll read, then we'll pray, and then we'll go. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I had a beat with SeaTac, I think I'll lose. Though therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Though therefore, your hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except strive lawfully. So this message is enduring hardness is a good soldier. Enduring hardness is a soldier. So we'll pray real quick and then we'll begin. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word before your people. Lord, I ask you would take over, Lord, in weakness. I show yourself strong, Father. You said you'd be in the midst of us, Lord. I ask, Lord, just as Peter, Lord, on the day of Pentecost, Lord, you pricked in the hearts that you would to today, Father. I ask forever change, Lord, and that we'd be strength, Lord, and ready to endure is before us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So basically, I don't even know how long I have. I'll try not to be long because you've already been patiently. But the key thought of this whole thing is in the title, enduring hardness is a good soldier. It's enduring hardness is a good soldier. And I find so often in the day in the struggles we see in modern Christianity, because there's no cost, there's no price to pay. It's I believe and I go about my business. And if I endure or if I don't, nothing hinges or stands on it. Whatever, you know, some things I tie it back, and I've studied again and again about the parable of the sower and the seed. And I find that I believe all three outside the one that the devil took the seed away were all saved, they were all redeemed, they were all to heaven. But not all of them endured, not all of them stood fast, not all of them went through to that final thing. And I want to just concentrate on two of these seeds. You had the one that fell on stony ground, and having no root in itself, sprung up. That was it. There was nothing else. They could not endure, let alone anything. They had no root elves. And then the second is the one that I want to concentrate on the most, because I think a lot of our churches are filled with the second seed. And I say in that case, it would be the third seed, if you parable down. But it said it sprung. It had fruit, but it never came to perfection. It said that the weeds and the thorns choked out. And what that was the cares and the things of this world and persons. Or any of that thing came about, it was stopped instantly. It had no strength. It had no endurance. It had no suffering. And with that in mind, with the rest of this, enduring hardness. The word hardness in the Greek means to undergo hardship, suffering, trouble, or affliction. So what it is not a one incident, but it's a continual process. In suffering again, it's hardship again, it's pain, it's endurance. And God never promised that the Christian life would be easy. He never said that it would be simple. He never said that it would be of no cost. It was of great cost. And in Luke, I won't remember, but in Luke 14, it said, having counted the cost. And there's a cost to being his disciple. There's a cost to being a Christian. And that's why he compares it in so many things in the spiritual world to being a soldier. Because in a soldier, it was under a certain administration. They didn't really fight or use guns. But there's a hardness. There's a perseverance. There's integrity. There's a suffering. There's a process one must go through to be a soldier or an airman or in the Navy or the Marine Corps. I'm sorry. But there's this process. And just a simple one is boot. There's this process of going from civilian life, or in the case of life, sitting in the pew, entering into the war, the fight for God. And then there's a parallel of being a soldier, of being on the uniform. And it's more than that. It's, you got, you know, drill, things you have to learn and processes and get your body prepared. And in the process that one wants to do this, join the United States military, one has to do this to be a soldier of Christ. And one of the main things that we have to do that I want to emphasize on is enduring hardness. It's not for no reason. Sometimes I'll show you what the Bible says, our own fault that we're in hardness. But there's other times that we're in hardness because God is refining us, making us better, purifying us, to increase our faith or to bring His glory to Him, to magnify Himself in us. But we must endure hardness. And the fact that we're enduring hardness, not for naught, there's a greater reason behind it. One is for the generation that follows, and the eternal generation will come when He comes into His kingdom. And then also for the time now that things need to be stood up and held and fought for. But all that kind of my introduction, we are called to endure. And I have a lot of verses. I doubt I'll use them all. But my point is, we are called to endure. And it says right here, I'm just going to read through a part of the passage in Timothy. Then we'll start moving over to the body, different areas. Though therefore, my son, be strong and in grace in Christ Jesus. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, come out of faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Then he's saying, though therefore in darkness is a good soldier. Then in verse 4 it says once again, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And he's saying that he's, now he's talking to Timothy, and I understand. But us Christians as well have been called to do work, to do things, to be his workmanship. To not be ashamed. And he said that he's chosen, taken him and said, I'm taking you, and I am now putting you into the service of the Lord. I am taking you and making you a soldier. He's given us weapons and things I won't get into, ways that we're supposed to war and what we're supposed to do. But he's taken every Christian, every believer, and has given them the opportunity to enlist, to become a soldier. He's chosen all of you. Fortunately, not all will fight. Not all will endure. Not all will be able to suffer persecution. But he has chosen you, Christians. He's chosen you, Christians, to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. Not for the things of this world, the things of that pass away, but Jesus Christ for the eternity, forever. He's chosen you to be a soldier. Now, I don't want to spend too much time because I have much heavier, but what must we endure if we are to be a soldier? What is this endure? What is this suffering? What is this persecution? What is this hardship? What are all these things? I want to mention the one word, and I'll go to all the passages, but we must suffer temptation. We must suffer trials. We must suffer tribulations. We must suffer for well-doing. We should suffer for living godly. We should suffer because we endure the chastisement of the Lord. But the thing is, temptation, if you want to go to James, I won't all these, but if you go to James chapter 1, but it says that we must suffer temptation. And the thing is, tempting, the Lord does not tempt. This is one of those sentences. What we put ourselves into is temptation. It says that he's blessed is the man who does this, suffers this, and comes through on the other side. But it says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love. Let no man say that when he is tempted of God. For God cannot with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But the thing is, right there it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So the thing is, when I enter in temptation, when I allow myself to be tempted, I'm pulled away and out of the ways of God, and I go off and being tempted, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. And we must endure these temptations to be Christians. Otherwise, we'll be caught up with errors in the things of the world. Doesn't necessarily mean, but in temptation, always covetousness, whatever that may be, have to be sexual. But the fact is, this is, blessed is the man that endures temptation. If you want to go to 1 Peter 4, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, like I said, I'm trying to be fast, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, if ye are in heavy through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perished, though it tried with fire, might be found unto honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he's saying that you're going to go through trials, and I believe trials many often are situations and tests the Lord puts us into, that our faith would be tried, or would be tried, the things that we say we doctrinally will be tried. And we give these things for the sake that will come precious and pure and more purified and more earnest and more complete. But that only happens by trials. You can't grow it, being a soldier. If you PT, which, trust me, in the National Guard, not such. Travis, he did more. But thing is, if I didn't go through hardship and go and work out, if I didn't have my strength tried, I wouldn't grow in strength. And it's the same in faith. But if my faith is not tried through enduring hardship, it will never grow. It will come forth to anything of any value. In tribulations, Romans chapter 5. But in Romans chapter 5, it talks about, again, temptations, or not temptations, tribulations. I think tribulation is slightly different than trial. I think tribulations were more long-suffering of a greater process instead of just one single event or an event occurs of the trying. But Romans chapter 5, you're probably before me. By whom we also access, verse 2, by faith into this grace wherein we stand and raise in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. It maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and by the Holy Ghost was given unto us. But it says right there, they're going through tribulations, a continual test. It's a refining, it's back, it's refining, it's back again, it's refined, back again. And what does it do? It makes us hope. And that's something we all just want to have hope, because that is assured faith. That is the most maturest form of faith. But the only way that happens is tribulations. And that tribulation experience. But that's a enduring. And we must endure to have hope. Well-doing, if you want to go to, I won't go to, go to 1 Peter. And it's for well-doing. And you say, well, that's a terrible thing that I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to go through hardship because I did well. I did good. I did well to others. But I'm going to suffer for this? Fortunately, that's what we are called to do. It's our lot in life, one would say, in Christians. But if you want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this, thankworthy if a man for conscience sake... For we are thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief and suffering wrongly. And it says about the fact that we are for conscience sake, and it says, for what glory if when we are buffeted for our own fault? So if we've done wrong, we're buffeted for it. And it says, and you shall take it patiently. So what glory is it? There is none. But it says, let's see here. Yeah, suffer for it. You take it patiently and acceptable with God. So what happens? Go back up because I missed it. When you do well, suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Then if you also just head a little bit to chapter 3, verse 13. And it says right there, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Not afraid for their terror, neither be troubled. But he's saying that you are blessed. It says that you should be happy. You should read that when you do right, when you have somebody that you are ministering to, or somebody that you are trying to take care of, somebody that you love very deeply, and you do for them, for their sake, for the glory of God, because it's the right thing to do. And they misuse you and wait upon you, and they take your name and feign it, or they hurt you, they inflict you. But if you take it well, that's enduring. It says it's a glory to God, a blessing thing. It says, happy are ye. But that's another part of that enduring, that we must endure. So we must endure temptation, trials, tribulations, welding. 2 Timothy, one more after that, and then we'll go to the last point. I'm flying, I think. 2 Timothy, you got to go all the T's. But 2 Timothy, and that would be chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. So preach tonight with everybody. I want you to say, everybody, some good preaching tonight. Amen. Good stuff, isn't it? But if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that would be verse 12. It says, that's 1 Timothy. I was going to give you the wrong verse. Then he chastised me for that, which we'll talk about later. But it says, yea, and all they who live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. So this is a statement. But it says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus, not might or could, it says will suffer persecution. And this right here is another of enduring. If I'm going to war, if I'm going to be a good soldier, I will live godly and I will suffer persecution. If I'm going to be a good soldier, I will go to temptation and I will endure. If I will be a good soldier, I will be tried and I will endure. If I'm going to be a good soldier and I'm going to do well, I will suffer persecution. I will suffer hardship. Nobody ever said, nobody ever promised, no matter what some preachers will say, that being a Christian is always easy. Not blessed, but it's not that it's easy. If you want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 9, and this is about the Lord, again, turning himself back on us because we have sinned against him, because we have done wrong in his sight. This, once again, is enduring, and we should be pleased that the Lord is dealing with us. But it says, if you, and it's verse 7 and 12, if ye endure, that word again, chastise, God dealeth with you as sons. And what son is he the father chasteth not? Paul about that. But if you do, or and if you be without chastisement, whereof you all are partakers. I'm having trouble all of a sudden. If ye be without chastisement, whereof you all are partakers, then bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh, which correct us. And when gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits that live? But it's here that, but it says, and if you endure chastising, God to you as sons. And son is he whom the Father chastiseth not. So it says that when we do, the Lord comes and he corrects us because he loves us. But he says that if the Lord doesn't correct us, we're bastards. We're not his children. So for us to continue, the thing is, I truly believe that we can run from the will of God. We can step outside. At that point, we've lost protection. The thing is, if we're just saying the will of God to be used, we all must acknowledge that we mess up. But when we don't handle, the Lord must come and chastise us. For his son, we must endure this. So through this again, we are called to be soldiers. What must we endure? We must endure temptations. That's when we're called about with us. We must endure trials. This is testing of our faith to build up. Tribulation that will be pure. For well-doing when we do right. For living godly, we must. And if we do wrong, we will chastise by the Lord. And now with all, so we're going through that we've been called soldiers. We have a choice to enlist. And we can go here and join the army and do the work. Or we can run over here and stay and be sidelines and not be used. And look at everything and say, wow, look what God's doing. And have no that, have no fruit. And that what comes and have no treasures in heaven. We're in that choice, especially in America. We can take it easy and have nothing and not worry much. Or we can enter into the service. And that is part of it, isn't it? But more importantly, with as we're called to endure, and what must endure, why? If we know why, there's no purpose. Why must we endure? What is the purpose of this enduring? Why must I suffer? Why would we suffer? Why can't I just take it easy? Why would I choose to suffer? Why would I decide to endure? Why would I want to be a soldier? What is the benefit to me? What is the benefit to others that I endure? Why must I endure? What is the purpose of all this trouble and trials, hardship? I want to have you turn to Joshua 13:1. Joshua, we don't have to turn to it, but it says right there that God is talking to Joshua and everything else, and he's already old in age. He's already all this time just to come into the promised land. But he says that, Joshua, thou art old and stricken years, yet there's still land to conquer. There's still land to conquer. Now, I've never shook that, but the fact that him in his old state of being an old man says that there's still land to conquer. And all Christians, there's still land to conquer. The world hasn't been reached for Christ. Not every family has been made. Not every prostitute's been taken off the road and shown a better way. There's not people who are still not into drugs or habits. There are still people beating each other and stealing. And there's still land to conquer. There's nations that have not been reached. There's been lives that have not changed. So we must endure for their sake. There's still land to conquer. There's still things that we must endure for their sake. Then my next point is, why must we? Because the fathers fell and sent for close. We'll go to Peter. This is awesome. I think Brother Carter will love it because I know he cares greatly about the family. And I felt need to bring it. But in 2 Peter, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? This is talking about the times and all the things that will happen. But there's the one phrase I've never been able to shake. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep. That's what I want to concentrate on. For since the fathers fell asleep. And the fact is, they weren't enduring. They weren't conquering. They weren't being a soldier. Because it said, since the fathers fell asleep. You say, well, what relevance is that? They're not my father. They weren't my brother's father. They weren't my father. But it says, since the fathers. The fathers of a nation. That was the parent people that were in charge of the next generation. Those who were responsible for what happened. If you want to go to Joshua, and I'll share some with you. And then I got a few other real quickly, and I don't think I was too terrible long. My wife will tell me otherwise later. And she listens to this all the time. Even jump up and down and run around the house. Not really. Mine would be upset. Go to Joshua, and that would be, Joshua chapter 4, as I'm still flipping through my Bible, borrow somebody else's. that we get here early this evening. But John chapter 4, verses, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but verse 6 and 7. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their father time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the water of Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When we passed Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And we must endure as parents, enduring God's word and his truth, and going to church and being faithful. And what we're doing by doing these things now, those who are parents, those who have responsibility of young ones, is we're setting up a memorial in our lives and what we have done. But that come easy. That doesn't come by sleeping on Sunday. That doesn't come in by blessing God one day and cursing him the other. That doesn't come by saying, I believe God, and cheating on your test. And I'm not saying anyone hearing that, but it doesn't come by that. It comes being faithful in the things of God, being faithful in the things that are before you. That's going to God instead of going to someone to help you out of your... Not that it's wrong if God's laid it, but we often go to other things instead of before God. We must set up an example. To do that, we must endure, and show the Lord faithful in half. By this, we set up this memorial that when our children will ask and say, Dad, why do you do that? Mom, why do you do that? What is your life that way? Why are you different? Let them do that to you. You've set up a memorial that they'll ask, and that they'll be glorified on your behalf you've done. And then your children will have an inheritance and something great in them for later, but we must endure this. Then it says also, what you call it, another reason we endure, and I won't go there, but it says in Ephesians about the fact that he said that I was so afraid, you're getting tossed about with all the different winds of doctrine, all these different things that are going on around you. You're getting tossed about. You're not fixed. You're not grounded in anything. You're just, I hear this over here, and I'll take some of that, and I hear this over here, and I'll take some of that. But the Bible says that we're supposed to stand for doctrine. If you want to turn on verse about standing for it real quick with me, you want to go to Titus 1:9, and I am almost done, I promise. I really am, I promise. I think I have two verses left, maybe three, and I could squish out a few others. Make them up if necessary. But if you go to Titus 1:9, as I'm hurrying, Titus 1:9, and I think this is awesome right here. It says, holding fast the faithful word, he hath been taught that he able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince again. But he's telling him to hold fast the full word. That's the word of God, and that by this sound doctrine is fixed, it is sure. That would be to convince against her, those who ridicule God and say he's not, and those who are tossed about that we must stand for, but to do that we must endure. Then also it says that another thing in Galatians, once I go there, a pastor talked about today, the fact that I should not look on my needs of my own things, but the things of others. That I'm after those who are fallen and back to God. But I must endure that. I must continue to do that. I not quit to do that. Must be there to notice, to do. And then, of course, and James, I want you to go to James, because this is very dear heart. James 5, verses 9 and 20. Brethren, any of you do not err from the truth, one convert him. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide the multitude of sins. And we must endure that soul be saved. We must endure that the gospel was preached. He said, go ye forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we don't endure in sound doctrine, if we don't endure in our families, if we don't endure in the generation to come, if we don't endure in the Lord, it won't happen. Because it's not that God cannot, but God has chosen to use us, vessels, to do his work. And we must endure as a soldier. We must endure what is brought upon us by the Lord to try us and refine us. And we must also endure that which is brought on ourselves. Then also endure what is given to us from others. But we must endure. We are called soldiers. That means we're going to be weak-hearted and faint, tossed about, and easy caught up, taken from things. And the ADHD world of the things of today of, ooh, shiny eyes. The Lord has called us to be soldiers. He's chosen us to be soldiers. And we owe it to our Savior. We are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God, body and spirit, which are God's. So it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So when it's your reasonable service, and it's a living sacrifice, which means it's something that's not dead. The fact is, we've been called to be soldiers. We are his. And we will be tried. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. Every single one of us. Give an account of what's been given to us. And the Bible does say that He is an all-seer God. And that is it's heartening. What we've done with this soldier, this call to duty, some will be ashamed. Another will be, thou good and faithful servant. And that is a choice that we all must make. And with that, I'll have every head bowed and every eye to close. And pass. Dear Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to preach Your word. I ask You to help us in hardness and suffer long. Lord, I ask You to help us, Lord, to endure us for the right reasons and not the wrong, Lord. But I, overall, Lord, that You just help us to endure. You'd help us to see souls that we might raise the next generation. I ask, Lord, that You'd work in each one of our hearts and change us and convict us, show us the errors of our word. In Jesus' name.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And the preaching was not just to...